Welcome to Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson here with my dad and our host, psychologist and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. Dad, you are quite the student of history, as I well know, and you know that every country has what they consider their darkest day.
Well, there's certainly debate over what is the darkest day in the United States history, although I would think September the 11th of 2001 perhaps would rank near the top, or the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941. They're certainly contenders. Both are tragic and horrific moments in U.S. history, without a doubt. But I would put forward another date for consideration to our listeners, and that is January the 22nd, 1973. That's not only a tragic day in American history, mm-hmm. but maybe the most tragic day in world history. I don't think there's been anything like it. 54 million babies have been murdered since that day in the United States when abortion became legal after the Roe v. Wade decision was handed down by the United States Supreme Court. The Holocaust in World War II resulted in 6 million Jews and Gypsies and Poles and homosexuals and political prisoners and others, but 54 million babies, mm-hmm. innocent little babies. I just cannot believe what we have done. And God help us. God help us. Now, Ryan, early this morning, you sent me something that I can't get out of my mind.
I can't either.
And it came by email. Mm-hmm. And when we came in the studio today, I asked if you would share it. Now, we could spend 2 or 3 days on this,
sure.
and we can't do it because we have 4 of the guests here. But it sets up what we're here to talk about.
It does, because as far as we've come for the fight for life here in the United States, we still have a long way to go in the Journal of, can you believe this, the Journal of Medical Ethics. Oh. In the UK, an article was recently published called Afterbirth Abortion, Why Should the Baby Live? And the premise is, the authors argue that what we call afterbirth abortion, which is killing a newborn, should be permissible in all the cases where abortion is, including where the newborn is not disabled. This is their argument.
That's the next step.
Yeah.
You know, President Obama, when he was in the Illinois state legislature, argued for being able to kill babies who were aborted, but then the job didn't get finished. Mm-hmm. In other words, they were still alive. Mm-hmm. That is difficult for me to believe, and I couldn't even find words to express it when I first heard about it. But this is the right to kill any newborn, mm-hmm. regardless of the circumstance. And if our listeners out there think I come back to this subject too often, I don't apologize for mm-hmm. that, because this is the greatest moral issue of our time.
Yeah.
And we absolutely cannot remain silent about it.
Well, the editor of the journal said that the people who were posting abusive and threatening remarks about this journal were fanatics opposed to the very values of a liberal society.
Unbelievable.
People that are extremely opposed at the very idea of killing a newborn baby aren't rational people who are thinking about a subject, but they are fanatics opposed to the very values of a liberal society. I guess I'm one of those people.
Yeah, I think our listeners can see why we started with that. And I want to tell you where we're going today. Mm-hmm. I was down in Houston, Texas, actually on a ranch just outside Houston. And there were about 150 people there or so. And on the second morning, a lady came up to me whom I'd met before. Her name is Ann Quest, and she's sitting here today. And Ann had the gall to come up to me and tell me that there was something I ought to tell our listeners about.
I was so excited because God had put us both in the same room at just the right time, Dr. Dobson. And I knew that if I could just present it to you, that your heart would just be melted by what I had to say to tell you about the Esther call. Mm. And so I was so grateful.
And here you are, and you've brought three great friends with you. And let me introduce them. Lou Engel is here with us. He's the co-founder of The Call, Solemn Assemblies. That's a movement of prayer focused on gathering young adults to pray and fast for revival. He is also the senior leader of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City, Missouri. And Lou, you and I have worked together on occasions, primarily in San Diego when Proposition 8 was being considered.
It was great to have you there. The reason we hold these solemn assemblies is because it's such a crisis. And in the scriptures, in those times of crisis, he calls people to gather to fast and pray and repent as the prescription for a returning. And so the Esther call, as Ann Quest talked about, is an all-women's gathering to fast and pray like Esther did to turn Haman's decree. And now with abortion, we need heaven's help. So Esther is going to appeal to the Supreme Court of heaven to believe that the Supreme Courts of earth could be changed when we appeal to heaven.
Do you agree, Lou, that this year is absolutely critical to the future of this country?
No question about
it. We're sliding into moral chaos. Ryan, the article you just read from is a British journal, but that could very easily have been done right here because there are people who feel that way.
That is a seed. The media waters that seed, and it becomes a tree that fills the whole earth. Unless we get divine intervention and raise our voices. And that's why we're here with you, to fast and pray, women appealing to heaven and raising their voices. And that's why we're here with you today. And we're so grateful that you'd give us this opportunity.
Well, I am glad to do it. Also with us is Tracy Eckert. She's a co-founder and director of HOZ, which stands for what?
It's H-O-Z, which is the House of Zerubbabel, the Dallas House of Prayer. This is a house of prayer that Lou helped to birth in Dallas after the first call that was there. And we've taken root. He's fathered us. And we pray. We're building a 24/7 prayer and worship center. And we pray. That's what we do.
And you know that the National Day of Prayer is headed up by my wife, Shirley.
Yes, and I've been a part of that.
And you have too, haven't you?
I have been the state coordinator for the state of Texas and started with Dallas, and it was just a pleasure to be able to do this.
Well, you guys are what we call salt of the earth, and I'm delighted to have you here. Also with us is Laura Allred, and she's the founder of the Back to Life movement. She preaches all over the country and recently served as a statewide mobilizer for the response event in Texas. That's where I met you.
That's right.
I got to quit going to Texas, you know.
Maybe you should move to Texas.
Maybe I've lived there. I'm a Texan. Did you know that?
Oh,
I
didn't.
I sure am. Well, all right, let's get right to it because we don't have a lot of time. Talk about what's going to happen in Houston and why.
About 2 years ago, as a young Hispanic woman who has been passionate about the cause of life since I was a very young girl, 11 or 12 years old, is when the Lord first began to burden my heart for the unborn. As I was watching the debate and watching the news, you know, reels, and really beginning to be stirred again for the issue of life, I began to ask the Lord, God, what can I do as a young woman? And there's a little bit of a frustration on my end that most of the people that are speaking about this discussion have really no relation to it. There are the National Organization of Women, Cecile Richards, and women that are older out of childbearing years who are saying, we're standing for you and we're, you know, your voice. And I just thought, where's the young female voice in this discussion? And I began to just take it to the Lord in prayer, and God gave us this kind of divine strategy. And so on March the 17th, in just a very few days from now, 39 young women in their 20s, 30s, some in their teens, even latter teens, representing 39 years of legalized abortion. So one young woman for every year of legalized abortion are going to start walking from our nation's largest abortion clinic. It's there in Houston, Texas. Ryan, it's 78,000 square feet. Planned Parenthood from Houston, Texas, will walk from there over 250 miles back all the way to the front door of the federal courthouse where the first filings were for Roe v. Wade. And these young women, many of them have passionate stories. They've been affected by abortion. Mm-hmm. Some of them are post-abortive. Some of them are survivors of abortion. And they feel, as young women, that they want to take ownership of this issue. It's a prayer journey, first and foremost. So for 21 days, we're going to be praying a different point every day. And then for 21 days, a different young woman is going to share her story live over the internet with the nation.
Now, Ann, this is what you came up and told me about.
Yes,
on,
that is it.
On that occasion in Texas. And I have a card here that has a picture of these 39 women. Yep. Now, it's only 39.
Yeah.
They've been hand-selected.
Yes, sir.
Maybe 40 or 50% of them are minorities.
At least, yes.
And the reason is because African-Americans and Hispanics are being targeted by this movement.
That's right.
It is really a racist thing.
It is.
To limit your people.
Absolutely. And as a Mexican-American woman, when I saw the Planned Parenthood in Houston that was being built, it's in my grandmother's neighborhood. It's where I grew up. It's sandwiched between three massive minority neighborhoods and then the University of Houston. And that's where I began to take ownership and said, they are targeting my cousins, my nieces. And for those of the listeners who don't know, the eugenics issue is so deeply embedded in abortion. Planned Parenthood itself was born out of the heart of eugenicist Margaret Sanger. And so many of these women, we have one young woman from New York City, African-American young woman, who is walking on behalf of New York City. And I don't know if you know this, but more African-American babies are aborted in New York City than are born. So her whole point in walking 250 miles is to stand in the gap for New York City, the abortion capital of our nation. And one day she's going to host the live feed on one of these 21 days, and she's going to share the story of New York City and the eugenics, you know, issue. So these young women, who can argue with their stories?
That's right.
These are young Hispanic women and young African-American women.
Now, you do not have a permit to allow thousands of people to walk with you. But can people follow along? Can they drive along? Can they be part of it in some way?
Well, we would love for any listeners who are in the corridor or feel it in their heart to join on the side of the road and cheer these girls on. Mm-hmm. You know, I watch marathons on TV and I see people on the side of the road cheering on, and that's really what's going to help them make it to the end.
Yeah.
We do have room for some volunteers to join us on the road. But what's exciting is we'll be doing three webisodes a day on our website, which is backtolifemovement.com. And so every day we'll publish a different prayer point that has to do about abortion, repenting for 54 million babies, repenting as believers for turning a blind eye and not engaging, repenting on behalf of government officials who have given in to the pro-abortion agenda. And so the listeners can join on for 21 days, pray with us. And so if thousands of people from all over the nation will join and watch these girls, tune in and pray with us, we would be so honored.
Laura, you told us before we went on the air that there was one woman that was going to make this journey who has a muscular disability, and she is going to be on a gurney?
Yeah, she will. She'll actually join us when we get closer to Dallas. Her name is Lauren, and she's 29 years old. Let me just say this first. Our heart in this and these stories, when I look back at the stories of these young women, every single one of these stories in one way or another disarms one of the arguments from anti-life activists. And so her story in particular, Lauren, she may not have been the quote-unquote ideal child. She was actually born with a muscular disease and has never walked a day of her life. But this young woman is so full of courage and has the joy of the Lord over her. And she wanted to be, she applied to be part of this. And she said, you know, my life matters. The world may say that it's, you know, I'm causing my parents harm and it's too much of a burden, but they love me and my life matters. And I'm grateful to the Lord to be here. We have another young woman who is walking on behalf of her sister who has Down syndrome and brings so much joy to her family. And she says, you know, I look at my sister and I think the world would say this is not the ideal child, but she's brought us so much joy. It's not a problem to take care of her. We love her. And so these girls' stories are so powerful in that they really, who can argue with their own testimony? Nobody.
I've always thought and said that if you could ever mobilize the women of this country, you'd get some things done.
That's right.
Because
that's
right. Women are passionate. They care about babies.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And shouldn't we all? Tracy, now, this entourage of 39 women is going to come walking into Dallas. And Tracy, they're going where?
They are going to go directly to the courthouse where the birthplace of Roe v. Wade, and there's going to be the Dallas pastors are going to be hosting a communion service where we are going to plead the better blood of Jesus over the blood of the shedding of for 54 million babies. And then we're going to go from the courthouse and we're going to walk to the Dallas Convention Center, which is about two blocks away, and we're going to journey in for 8 hours of a solemn assembly where we're really going to lead women in a time of confession and a time of healing, a time of prayer and a time of repentance. And we're asking women today, we're asking you to come. If you've had an abortion, if you feel that you're a guardian of the unborn, that you would come at this moment in history, in this moment in time, and you would let your voice be loosed so that once and for all, we can begin to shift and change the public forum. We can begin to dialogue about this from our hearts.
Now, you're going to have 39 women that make the walk,
right,
but you want thousands and thousands of women to be at the courthouse,
yes,
and to be at the convention center.
Yes, we are asking and inviting women from all across America and all across Texas to come on that day, on Good Friday, and stand in the gap and to say once and for all, this ends here, mm-hmm, and this ends now.
Lou, man, I can feel the power of this right here and right now. You're calling this call the Esther call.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes. See, Esther lived in a time when there was a public policy decree of destruction against a people group. She fasts 3 days, a woman, and it changes the public policy of Haman. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. When
Amen.
We invoke heaven, heaven moves on earth. That's why Esther's going to appeal to God. Turn this thing around. Change the president. He could do it. He could do it with Nebuchadnezzar. And we're going on Good Friday. It's the eve of Passover. Is there still a Passover for America with 54 million babies' blood? God, save us. Give us a great awakening in America.
Oh, my.
What I feel like the Lord has shown us through this journey of preparing for the Esther call is that the war and the battle is over the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And God created us as Eve. Eve means life. And so we've seen that battle, and that's really our hearts to begin to awaken these women and talk to them about who they were really created to be.
Yeah.
That we would no longer be a compromising woman, but we would be women who trust the Lord with every aspect of our lives, including our physical bodies, including our sexuality, mm-hmm, including even our wombs.
Yeah.
Because when I'm post-abortive myself, and I know that what happens with a woman is that when you do something like that, it damages your heart because you've actually gone against the very created purpose that God made us for. And so,
yeah, it's not only 54 million babies,
right,
it's
right,
54 million women.
Exactly. That's right.
And a lot of them girls who hardly knew what they were doing.
What the enemy has done is he's totally taken those women out, yep, of society, and he's so wounded them that they really can't even fully love. And that was I didn't even know that was the condition of my heart. And I couldn't even, I hid it away within my heart, not even thinking of confessing.
How
and
old
I,
were you, Tracy?
I was in my 30s, and I when I did it, I knew it was wrong, but I buried it so far within me that I've refused to remember it in my mind. And it wasn't until, and I was going to church, I became born again afterwards, and it wasn't until I heard Lou Engle talk about it that it began to stir in my heart. And I thought, I can't hold this in anymore. I have to confess this. We've allowed women to remain wounded, so therefore we can't turn the tide of this if we're not speaking to it and allowing them to heal.
Tracy, did you feel the condemnation of Christian people, or did you also feel a compassion and the love of Christian people?
I felt a condemnation of myself. I felt if I said something that I would die, that I would turn into ash, honestly. But it wasn't until I finally, the love of God in that environment with Lou, and it was just an environment of worship and praise, and I felt so safe to be able to say something. And when I finally said it, a flood of love came into my heart. And I finally was able to let go of the shame and the pain of it. And it gave me a voice of authority over it. And so I was locked up, and I finally was able to be set free. And I believe that with this Esther call, we're going to be able to release these voices and create a sea of great deliverers. And isn't it just like God to take the most wounded and to shift them into the greatest warriors?
Ryan, you can see why this grabbed my heart.
Of course. And
because I really believe that there can be many thousands of people in Dallas.
Yeah.
Roe v. Wade took place right there. That courthouse is where this darkest day, Ryan, which you mentioned, the darkest day in the history of this country or any country, occurred right there. And 54 million babies have died. I do. I can sense the hand of the Lord here on this. Tracy, give whatever information is needed for people to know what to do. Now, they can go to our website.
DrJamesDobson.org. We'll have all the links. But for those that aren't going to get there soon enough, where can we get information?
You can get the information at thecall.com, where you can register for the event. It will also give you hotel information. And you can also, there's mobilize information. Mm-hmm. You know, bring your church, bring your youth group, you know, tell your sisters and your mothers about it. And then, Laura, also, where can they get in touch with your information?
If you would like to follow the 39 women as they walk and be a part of that, you can go to backtolifemovement.com, and we'll begin on March 17th, short time from now.
Fantastic. Yeah. And again, all that will be at drjamesdobson.org.
Laura, did the Lord lay his hand on you and give you this assignment? Are you the Esther of this event?
I wouldn't say, I'm not sure if I'm the Esther of the event, but I know that the Lord did give me this burden, even as a young girl, but I feel honored to share and to carry in the burden of the Lord with this. And so I will say that I do acknowledge it's taken a great amount of courage. And, you know, we're just a grassroots young women's movement in the face of a $1 billion demonic industry. And so I do feel in many ways I resonate with Esther, but I believe that one person can make a difference.
Mm-hmm. All right, here are the dates again. The 39 women are leaving on this walk on the 17th of March.
Yes, sir.
And they're going to arrive in Dallas, in the Promised Land, on April the 6th,
yes.
Right?
Good Friday. Good Friday.
And Lou, you have an event scheduled there for the convention center.
It's an all-women's call, young, old, every kind of ethnic group gathering together.
Yeah.
For your voice to be heard in heaven, to release voice on earth. Mm-hmm. Women, it's your hour.
And Ryan, I'm going to ask that you put that horrible article on our website. If that won't motivate you, to think of that tiny baby being considered nothing but...
Not an actual person, just a potential.
Yeah, a subhuman that has the potential of becoming human.
You know, there used
are
to be that
kidding?
Phrase... Fighting words.
Yeah.
Those are fighting words.
Yeah. God's blessings to you all. You came here on a snowy day in Colorado Springs to be with us. Laura, you've got tears in your eyes, too. I think all of us do because we sense the hand of God.
Yeah.
And we will be praying with you as these plans play out.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Dobson.
Thank you.
It's been an honor.
Yeah.
And we'll ask all of you, our listeners, to also be in prayer for this event. Again, it's called the Back to Life Walk, and at the culmination, the Esther Call. The walk starts this Saturday, the 17th, and to watch the daily videos by each of the 39 women or to find out how you can be a part of the April 6th event in Dallas, again, go to drjamesdobson.org. We will have all of the links you need there. Or if you prefer to call us, our phone number is 877-732-6825. And when you call, if you could remember that we are a listener-supported program, we would appreciate it. Also, let us know the call letters of the station on which you hear Family Talk. Again, that phone number is 877-732-6825. Thank you so much for spending this time with us today. We'll see you right back here tomorrow for a conversation with a couple that has truly been through the valley and emerged to bring us all hope. That's next time on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.